Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight, A and B edition.
I just totally jumped in there, sorry. I'm still getting used to the new platform, guys.
Who are you?
I don't know.
Introduce yourself for the listeners. Yeah. So start again.
I'm Amy and I have no idea what I'm doing.
I think that's what happens when we record so many together to keep in touch with our busy lives.
Too busy.
And I think I'm Bianca. Oh, what a wonderful start to our episode.
Yeah.
Look, this is the problem when we decided to give podcasting a crack back in the middle of one of Melbourne's many lockdowns. Lockdown 1, 2, 74. Six. Who knows? But it was 2020, and that was a long decade. We are usually joined by our lovely co-host, Sarah. However, Sarah is taking a mini break, mini hiatus.
She's run off to join the circus. I don't know.
Yeah, or Eurovision, which is our best guess at this point. And, we wish her all the health and happiness that life can bring. And we love you, bitch.
We love you.
Yeah.
Even though you're not listening.
Yeah. I'll know if she's not listening. I'm coming to hunt her down. Anyway, Amy and I are powering on, woo-woo, and continuing to fuel this tangent train. So strap yourselves in. But first, what are we drinking?
I am still drinking the Pinot Grigio from last episode because I didn't get through it and I don't throw out wine. And yeah, I just can't. So I'm still drinking it. It's fine. It's totally fine.
I am drinking my free wine. Who doesn't love free wine? I mean, anyway, my free wine is Brian Fretra.
Delicious.
Shiraz. Oh, yes. I'm so into these reds. Even though it's hot, I cannot get away from my reds at the moment. It's amazing.
Oh, right?
Who knew I'd be this person now?
Who knew?
Certainly not me after many times I've died.
Yeah. Which ties in well to this episode because, wow.
Yeah. So, Amy, what is our topic for tonight?
Our topic for tonight is Easter. Talking about coming back from the dead. We are talking about Easter. I grew up in a family where we're not at all religious. Easter was a time when the Easter Bunny would bring chocolate eggs during the night. If we were good, of course.
Yes.
Only if we were good. Yeah. Over time, I learned that Easter actually originated from events described in the Second Testament of the Bible, where the human son of God, Jesus, was killed by being nailed to a cross. Pretty gruesome, if you ask me, but apparently that was what was done back in those days. So, on Friday, Jesus died, and his body was laid to rest. However, on Sunday, Jesus was resurrected and then quickly was ushered into the gates of heaven. Fucking convenient, if you ask me.
Yeah. I mean, I've resurrected myself many times after a big night, never been ushered into heaven.
Usually I
get ushered into a hangover. But,
I feel so jibbed right now.
Yeah.
Because I've resurrected myself so many times on a Sunday and never ushered into the pearly gates of heaven, ever.
No, it's usually ushered into your couch and HGTV.
Exactly. And a big coffee.
Yeah.
Big coffee. Yeah. So, yeah, as a child, I couldn't quite understand why the date for Easter moved around and why it wasn't the same every year, like Christmas being the day that Jesus was born. If this is the train we're on, why is it not the same? I don't understand.
Yeah.
So, Later, I came to understand that Western Christians. Far out.
Brian Fresher.
Okay, so Western Christians were using the Gregorian calendar, and they used that to determine that Easter would always occur between the 22nd of March and the 25th of April. So that's within it would happen within 7 days of the astronomical. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes,
a full moon. Yeah. Further, there is a defined period between those two dates where Easter must fall, and apparently it's determined by the planets and the sun.
Yes.
Like, how did they know any of this back then? How, I ask? I don't know. I went in a rabbit hole and it didn't deliver any results that I understood. So, yeah, look, there might be an answer, but I didn't get it, so I didn't decide to write it in.
Yeah, it's real hard. You've got to, like, have some sort of degree in science tree.
Magic degree. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a science magic degree, so I decided, no, this is hard. Well, let's be honest. There's so much contention between historians about the dates of Christmas and Easter. There's little point discussing much more about the history here because no one agrees. And let's face mm-hmm. it, no one knows. There's no way to know. So, yeah. So now this is not the only origin of Easter I'll just throw out there. This is the one I grew up with because in Australia we predominantly have Christian-based holidays and things like that, much like the rest of the Western world. So that is what I grew up with. But in fact, in most countries in Europe, the name for Easter was actually derived from the Jewish festival Passover, which occurs around the same time. This is a time of feasting and gatherings with friends and family. Easter also happens to coincide with many spring festivals, which originate back to pagan times. So what do I make of all of this? Well, I'm glad I asked. Okay.
Thank you, Amy.
thank you, Amy. Oh, you're most welcome, Amy.
Right? High five.
Well, like many dates in the Christian calendar, it seems like there was this fun event that was going on long before the alleged times of Jesus, and it was taken over by Christians, and they put a Christian spin on it all. So going forward, they could claim the holiday or tradition as their own.
Yeah.
Marketing at its finest.
Oh, really. Absolutely.
Let's just get something fun and put a big Christian sticker on it. Yeah. It's out. You can't have it. So bad luck. Yeah. So that is the background of the holiday commonly known as Easter. Bianca, what have you got for us?
Well, look, at first glance, while doing some light Googling, I thought, oh, my God, what is this weird crime tradition that happens every year in Norway? Like, are you good, fam? all these things that were coming up was like crime and Easter, and I was like, what the fuck? And I said to Amy, I'm gonna do this sounds great. Oh god, it dates back to 1930s. Yes. Okay, I dug a little deeper and it's not quite as sinister as I originally thought.
Oh yeah, that's disappointing.
I know, but it's still weird, so I'm okay. Carrying on. So one would think that after a long, dark, bitter winter, Norwegians would welcome spring, sun, and the promise of summer. You think. But, and like, look, that's probably true for the cold challenge. But many Norwegians choose to extend the winter by spending the Easter holiday in their mountain log cabins, armed with mutton, eggs, and chocolate wafers. Mm. However, one more ingredient is needed to really get into the Easter spirit. Okay. To some, it is the highlight of the holiday. Murder.
What?
Yep, preferably many of them.
Okay.
But safely experienced between two book covers.
Oh.
This is something I can get behind, right? So between shoveling snow or skiing on it, whatever is your preference, I like toboggan.
Yeah, I like tobogganing.
Yeah. Easter for Norwegians means wallowing in crime fiction.
I love this.
I love this. So in Norway, you can't avoid it that 1 week of the year. the TV, like, has high profile British mystery shows. Love it. Oh. On the radio, NRK has produced radio plays.
Yeah. I love this.
Yeah. Your newspaper's weekend supplement has probably commissioned a crime short story. Love this.
Oh.
Yeah. And usually interview an expert on why Norwegians read Easter crime or fiction, or as it's called, Pascha Krim.
Oh.
And there was also this bakery that asked his Facebook followers to find out who had stolen their cupcakes.
Oh, yeah. I love this.
Yeah. A fictional cupcake kidnapping case. Because what is Easter without crime everywhere, right?
Oh, my God. I love this.
How do we not know he did this? Like, this is great.
How are we not doing this? I don't understand. How is this not a thing we're doing?
Yeah, I know. I know. So the reading of, like, crime fiction during Easter is believed to be a tradition unique to Norway. There's no other country in the world that's done this. The Easter crime phenomenon can be attributed to a specific day in history because it was a book publisher's marketing ploy that started it all. And this is where the 23 date comes in. So March 24th, 1923, the day before Palm Sunday, Oslo newspaper Aftenposten printed the headline, "The train to Bergen was robbed last night." And that was across the front page. And the news spread like free money rumor. Like,
wow.
Yeah, but in reality, there was no headline because what Aftenposten had printed was, in fact, an ad for a novel of the same name. But very few picked up on the small disclaimer printed next to it.
Details are important, people. We've said it before.
Yes. So the headline, I'm going to try and read this in Norwegian.
Do the accent.
Bergen start plyndret I nat. That's as best as I can do, and I'm so sorry. So this novel was actually written by Jonathan Jerv or Jonathan Wolverine. Those are aliases for the two students. The students' names who wrote the book are Nordal Grieg and Nils Lai. Both of them were born in Bergen on Norway's west coast. And Grieg went on to be one of Norway's most prominent authors in the 1920s and 30s after this. And Lai became a major figure in publishing.
Ooh.
Yeah. However, it is widely regarded that it was the publisher, Gyldendal, that publishing director, Harald Grieg, which is Nordal's brother, who was responsible for making the book a bestseller. So this was 15 years before Orson Welles' War of the Worlds radio drama caused panic, which if you go back to our fake news, you can hear all about that. So, yeah, this is like way before all that. So it's probably one of the first fake news. See, we even miss this.
Ooh.
Yeah. Harald Grieg, the brother of the other Grieg, he achieved the same effect as War of the Worlds by employing a method known today as clickbait. So when the word got out about that robbery only took place in a book, readers rushed to bookstores. They just, yep, run, don't walk. But be careful in the snow.
But be careful in the snow.
So, yeah, Harald Grieg did probably not intend to create a specific and lasting tradition.
Unlikely.
Unlikely. Granted, though, he did want to sell books. But even though he realized that selling light literature, because it's just a paperback, in March and April was a way to branch out for the industry, because usually they release their books in the fall. So he created a whole new time of year to release books.
Wow.
It actually changed the whole novel production industry. It's amazing. So, yeah, reading detective fiction instead of going to church is thought to have fastened its roots because of the specifics of Norwegian Easter, which is great.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so in.
Oh, me too. I'm down for this year. There are some far-fetched theories according to Norway's crime fiction expert Nils Nordberg, that stretch back to pre-Christian times. So from what he believes, blood sacrifice, well, from what he knows, actually, we know blood sacrifice was made by the Viking ancestors. And it was roughly around the time when Easter would fall centuries later. So that sort of coincides. And the reason they did this was to secure crops and keep the gods happy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe traces of this remain in the Norwegian genes, like in the form of fascination for stories about violence.
You know, or maybe they could just be like the rest of us who also are fascinated by violence.
Could be. So, yes, the metaphorical sacrificial lamb and the scapegoat are, you know, after all, no small part of crime fiction.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, as you said, like Easter itself has a dark backstory. Like,
it's a bit grim. Let's put it out there.
When God sent the angel of death to kill the firstborn sons of ancient Egyptians, and then like blood-smeared houses saved Israelite families, and later the criminal case, punishment, death of religious rebel Jesus of Nazareth. Yep. So that gave Easter additional meaning. Yeah.
Slow bet.
Yep. But those theories held water. Like, yeah. And Easter crime should have been a thing in many countries, and it is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you think about it, we kept this crime at Easter, but none of us really kept up with it.
I think it's because, and like, this is nothing against the Christian religion or anything like that, but I feel like there is so much about the faith that they mourn. Like, yeah. it's a mourning thing. Like, they mourn, they grieve over it, opposed to just, okay, well, let's just, you know, start the purge on Easter, just funsies.
Good point.
So, I don't know, maybe it's because we're so suckered into this whole mourning thing because Jesus died and this was sad and blah, blah, yeah. blah. Yeah, we're not thinking about murder. Why not? It's fun.
I know. Well, this Nils Nordberg guy, he actually thinks there's more probable explanation and it's much less complex than all of that. Yeah, he simply believes it's still a form of death, just killing time. Yeah. Norberg says this makes the most sense because Norway's Easter holiday is the longest in the world. Norwegians leave their jobs for up to 10 days.
With oh, wow.
5 of them being compulsory days off.
Well, because it falls on a weekend. We've got Good Friday,
yeah,
and then we've got Easter Sunday, but because it's such a thing, we get the Monday off as well.
Yeah.
So we have a 4-day holiday.
Yeah, so, yeah, that'll be good. I'm working the entire Easter weekend to bring on that double time. So excited for that. You have no idea. So, yeah. So 5 compulsory days off. Actually, 1 in 4 Norwegians spend their Easter either in a mountain or coast cabin where daily life over this time is associated with simple pleasures and unwinding. So, yeah, just your skiing, your bogging, and murder mysteries. Perfect for in front of a log fire. Yeah.
Right? Oh, mm-hmm. give me a glass of, like, some fortified wine.
Yes.
And some delicious dark chocolate. Oh. Yep. I just, after a day of being on the boggin outside, and then I can chuck on a crime show. Oh my God, yeah. I love this. Why aren't we doing this? This is what we're doing for Easter. Write it down. This is what we're doing.
Okay, done.
I mean, you're working, obviously, yeah. But yeah, I'm doing this. Write it down. Remind me I'm doing this.
Done. Okay. I'll put it in the calendar.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't as dark as I thought it was going to be, but still, that's actually, it's a bit of fun, and I'm down for this tradition. Yeah.
I feel like this is what we're doing, so yeah.
So what have you got for us tonight?
Ha. So when we discussed doing an Easter episode, because last year we didn't do one, I thought, what is it about Easter that I want to know about that I don't already know? Okay, let's have a think. So I came up with the Easter Bunny because it turns out I still don't actually know what this all means. So I went down the rabbit hole. Yeah, to answer a few little simple questions. Things like, what's up with the rabbit? Why not some sort of zombie Jesus? Like, I would have thought that would be fun, but no, apparently not. What's up with the eggs? And why are they made of chocolate? Like, why?
Yeah.
What's up with all of that? Yeah. I mean, when I was growing up, the Easter Bunny was like Santa or the Tooth Fairy. Mm. I never questioned his existence because the dude bought chocolate eggs.
Yeah.
Like, why would you question this as a child? Why would you ask why? You just go with it and go, thank you, and keep moving. Yeah.
I think that's why one of, what's it called? The Guardians?
Yes. Oh, God. I love that.
I love that movie. Yeah. And the Easter Bunny is freaking Australian. I love it.
Yeah. It's Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. It's amazing. That's like one of the best kids movies I've ever seen. I'm obsessed. I love it.
It is. Great. It is so good. And their version of Santa is also amazing. Oh,
yes.
Isla Fisher actually, I think, is the Tooth Fairy as well. I don't know whether maybe it was made in Australia. I don't know. But yes, if you haven't seen that film, people, get around it because it's awesome. So yes, I decided I was going to tackle the rabbit. So here goes. Okay, the Easter Bunny. What the fuck? Okay.
Yeah.
According to Wikipedia, the idea of the Easter Bunny came from German Lutherans. And for those who are playing at home, they're like a species of Christian. Right, so they adopted this figure who was kind of like Santa Claus. He bought gifts to good children the night before Easter Sunday. The gifts included coloured eggs as well as lollies or candy and sometimes toys. The concept of a rabbit apparently came from the fact that rabbits were a symbol of fertility, and during spring, when Easter is celebrated, symbols of fertility were everywhere. So basically they came up with this because they just looked around and went, all right, well, what can we use? Rabbit. Because it was everywhere. That's what they went with. All right, but why the eggs? I don't understand the eggs. Well, rabbits don't lay eggs, so what the fuck is with that? Okay. All right, so it was an established tradition to color eggs during the springtime to celebrate the new season. People would use flowers to color eggs. So they would go and pick flowers, and then they would put it in a pot, and then they would boil the eggs, and that would color the outside. Cute, right?
Oh, that is cute.
And it was common practice in England for poor children to go and beg for eggs door to door the Saturday before Lent, which is another Christian holiday that
The man's getting down good.
Fuck.
Okay, I got out phenomenon. You can get out this word.
Commemorates. Whoa. Hey.
That's a high five.
Yep, that's a high five.
That's a lot.
Yep. No, I still can't do it. The 40 days that Jesus spent fasting through the desert. So eggs were a common gift for children around this time. Hence, now the bunny brings eggs. Yeah. Mm. Eggs are also a sign of fertility as well, which is common around the springtime. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. So we know what's up with the rabbit. We get the egg situation. All right. Who made them chocolate?
Yeah.
Who came up with that? Why? Yeah, why? Okay, it's a stroke of pure genius, I say. Back in the day, chocolate was actually bitter and was for drinking, not eating. It wasn't something that you would just go and mung on like we do now. Yeah, over time it developed into a sweet treat. Chocolate eggs first appeared in the court of Louis the 14th, but were not affiliated with Easter. Yeah, so it was kind of like a decorative thing. Yeah.
Like a Fabergé.
Yeah, but like chocolate. Mm. Yeah, so they would get get out all of the stuff out of eggs, and then they would use the shells and pour chocolate over the top because the chocolate wouldn't melt the mold, which was the egg, and then they could create these little cute chocolate thingies. Yeah.
That's good. I like that. Yeah.
However, in 1875, some genius at Cadbury decided to create the modern Easter egg after developing a pure cocoa butter that could be molded into shapes.
Yeah.
And there, history was made, people. Yeah, they started marketing chocolate eggs in time for Easter, and boom, a tradition that would live on for generations was born.
There I can't believe it was Cadbury.
Right? I actually believe Cadbury was like an Australian thing, but there's a long history in Cadbury. So, yeah, that's a whole long topic. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah. My takeaways from all of this, let me just throw them out there for you guys. Christians always need a bad guy for parenting reasons. It's easier just to invent some fictional character who will punish your children if they're naughty than you having to do it yourself.
Yeah. Yep.
So if you've got a big holiday coming up with lots of celebrations, doesn't matter what it is, because we've already established that around Christmas time, there's lots of different religions that have lots of different big events and week-long celebrations and things like that. Easter, now we're establishing it's the same. There's always big holidays around Easter. Doesn't matter what religion you tend to follow. So if you've got some fictional character who is going to punish your children if they're bad, this is great because you can say in the lead up, if you don't behave at this party, you're not getting this. Yeah. So yeah, if you've got a big holiday coming up with lots of celebrations, you just say, bah, no Easter bunny for you. Yeah. And you bribe your kids into behaving when you have to go out.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the time or patience to make sure they actually behave themselves because children are naughty and shit.
Yeah. I think this is it's a good way to keep us in check too. Like, no crime novels for you.
Oh, my God. If I don't get all my jobs done before the Easter weekend, I cannot wrap myself in a blanket and watch true crime docos on Netflix. This is a good punishment for me, I feel.
Yeah.
It works. Absolutely works. So yeah, that's what's up with the bunny from Amy.
I love it. Thank you so much because yeah, I had no idea and I haven't looked into it ever. And then yeah, when you said you were going to do it, I was like, yes, I need to know where this bunny comes from. And you've gone all the way into chocolate eggs. And yes. Thank you.
I had to answer all the questions.
Yeah.
I had to answer because, like I said, went down the rabbit hole just a little bit.
Well, I hope you had fun researching the topic because, yeah, I had fun listening to it and I had fun researching mine. So, yeah.
Oh,
it's awesome.
I love it. I now know where the bunny comes from. And this Easter, which is coming up very soon, listeners, I am going to be sitting on my couch watching true crime. Actually, it's fictional crime, isn't it? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Murder Mysteries from BBC. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you can come around and borrow one of my books.
Oh, my God. I have so many crime fiction books that I need to read. This is what I'm doing. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So, yeah, like I said, we have fun researching this topic, but we would love topic suggestions from y'all. Send them in. FridayNightWiFi@gmail.com. You're probably sick of hearing that, but I'm not going to stop saying it. Fuck you. Give us something to talk about. Yeah, so check it out on all the socials. Yeah, hit us up on any one of them. Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter. Where are
Instagram.
We? Pinterest. Yeah, Instagram. Yeah. TikTok. Yeah. So tune in next week for more A&B shenanigans. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure tell your friends, tell your mum. Have a great night.
Bye. Bye.